Good morning, church. Good morning. If you guys don't know who I am, my name is Riley. I am the youth pastor here at Bethel. And so I just wanted to say good morning and welcome to Bethel Church. First of all, kids, middle schoolers, you guys do not have class today because I want to torture you with my words. So you guys are going to stay in here. So I'm so sorry, but good luck. So you guys are staying here. But this morning is going to be a little different. Because we're taking a break from our current series, Spirit and Mission, that Dave's been walking us through. And he'll finish us off next week with that final sermon. We're going to take a break because since technically I'm the new guy here still, and you guys may be wondering, why did Dave hire a guy without a beard? Like, it's a really big question here. I get it all clapping. I don't know. Is that bad or is that good? What do you guys say? So you guys may be wondering that. So, I mean, this sermon's going to be, I'm going to be sharing a little bit more of my testimony, who I am, what God's done in my life, and as well, we're going to be going through, talking about Moses and kind of his interactions with God and what happens from there and how that relates to our lives today. And so that's what we're going to be going through this morning. But first, I just want to start off with a bit of my testimony. So I grew up in a Christian home. I have a mom and a dad, Mark and Margo. They're here somewhere. If you can find them, they look exactly like me. So I'm going to see you guys during the sermon, like, taking some peeks around. And I have an older brother named Kyle by 3 years. And, you know, I grew up in that family, and it was an amazing time. They were so good to me. I was really close to my parents. I was so close that I knew that if I wanted to buy something, meaning if I wanted my parents to buy me something, I would talk to my dad and ask my dad, because he would always say yes. And if I wanted my friends to come sleep over for the night, I wouldn't go to my dad, because my dad was not, he wasn't like that. My mom was always down to let my friends sleep over. So I knew them really well. I knew how to work this system, you know. You get good at that kind of stuff. But they were awesome, you know. They modeled to me what a great Christian parent should look like and how a marriage in Christ should look like. And so they've done an amazing job. My brother as well. He's been fantastic to me. Me and him have been really good friends all our lives. We fought for a little bit in the middle times, but then we both grew up, and then he kind of matured a little bit more because I was obviously already at that level, and then we were friends again. And so he's been really awesome. We're like best friends to this date. And we hang out all the time, and he was a big impact on me in my spiritual walk growing up, and same with my parents. And so, yeah, amazing time growing up in my family. When I came to faith, I remember I was age 6, and I was sitting at my dinner table with my mom. My mom's like, "Hey, like, Riley, do you want to be a Christian?" And I was like, "Yeah, yeah." So we did the prayer, and I accepted Jesus in my life. And later that day, and later that week, you know, I was like, "Oh man, like, I wonder if Jesus heard me." I was like, "You know, I gotta do it again." So I said it again, and so that the end of that week, I was probably a Christian 7 times over, just in case. And so, you know, I'm for sure there. I know it. And then growing up a little bit more, age 9, I got baptized with my brother, and so that was an awesome experience, just awesome. And then it came to like the age 10 to 17, like the early church life, and so I grew up in church, and I had these two friends, you'll hear them a lot, their names are Isaac and Joel, and they were something that we call PKs. I don't know if you guys know what PKs are, but PKs are pastor's kids, all right? And pastor's kids got a stereotype that goes with them that is very accurate, that they are the terrors of the church. All right, it's very accurate because I lived that. I thought I was a PK. I was PK by heart. And so we would, during the service, our parents would like come to church, drop us off, and we'd disappear for a bit. And then at the end of the service, they'd become looking for us. They're like, where are they? They'd come upstairs, and we'd be playing soccer the entire time. We'd be shirtless, sweating, and that's what we did at church every week, is we just played soccer, we just hung out. We terrorized the church because we broke lots of lights, tons of lights from soccer, you know. We set off the fire alarm 30 minutes before our Sunday morning service. We baked a cake during the service made of pancake mix and hot chocolate powder. And so we did a lot of things that PKs do, so get ready because they're getting older now, so you never know what's going to happen. But while we were growing up like that, we didn't really, like, our Christian walk wasn't really there. Like, we knew what to do. We grew up in church. We knew that when it came to worship, we raised our hands, we would engage. When it came to answering questions, you know, we always knew to say Jesus. That was always the answer. So we knew what to do, but so on the outside, we were very Christian, but on the inside, we were kind of complacent. You know, we were kind of like that lukewarm Christian where we knew what to do on the outside, but on the inside, we didn't really care. And so that characterized my growing up from all the way till high school. I was complacent. I didn't really, truly love Jesus on the inside. I knew he was real, and I wanted to follow him, but I really didn't follow him in my heart. And so there came a time in high school where I was like, I need to make a decision. You know, like, there's the church, and then there's what my friends were starting to do in high school, like going to parties, doing that kind of stuff. And I was like, I need to make a decision. I can't live this in-between life. And so I was like, you know what? I got to see if this Christianity, this Jesus guy, is truly worth it. And so what I did is I examined people. I looked at non-Christians and how they lived, and then I looked at Christians and how they lived. And I saw a drastic difference. The non-Christians, they lived for the weekend. They lived for the next high, you know, the next boyfriend or girlfriend they can get. And in between there, it was empty. It was like, oh man, like, what's the next thing? What's the next thing? Like, this sucks. What's the next thing? And then I looked at Christians. And, you know, they still live the same life. They still were sad at times. There's still problems that went on, but there was something different about them. It was like they weren't looking for the next high. They were looking past that to something greater. And it attracted me. I was like, I want that. And I clued in that, man, that thing that they're desiring further on is Jesus. And it gives them a greater hope to live. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to dive into Jesus, and I'm going to get into him. Because he seems worth it. Let me tell you right now, I'll give you a nugget of wisdom. Best decision of my life. Best decision of my life is so worth it. Oh, yeah. Wow. Thank you. And so from then on, I was walking a lot better in my Christian faith. And so it came to my decision of how I got here, why I'm here right now as a pastor. And so growing up, I never thought I'd be a pastor. I had a youth pastor. His name was Andy, and he was great. And the closest thing I thought was, man, like, his job looks fun, because he would just take us out for pizza, and we would just hang out, and that was it. And I was like, I get paid to eat pizza? Amen. But that's all I ever thought about. But it kind of just kept coming back to me, that idea of, like, man, like, the preacher was preaching about calling. And let me just define calling. Calling does not mean, it's not just for a pastor, all right? Every single person in this room, every one of you guys has a calling on your life. All right, a calling could be to be a pastor. A calling could be to work in the trades and just be a light in that world because it's so dark. Your calling could be to use your friendliness to befriend those who maybe are hard to be friends with. Maybe you're called to healing. Maybe you're just going to be a congregant, but you're gonna walk out in your healing ministry and you're just going to go and pray for people. Okay, a calling does not mean a pastor. A calling means what is God asking you to do right now in your life. And so at this point, they were talking about calling, and so we took time to pray, like, okay, what is my calling? What is my calling? And so I was like, God, like, if you're calling me to be a youth pastor, because it was never leaving my mind, I was like, if you're calling me to be a youth pastor, tell me right now, and I'll go. Tell me right now, and I'll go. And nothing was coming. I was like, Lord, please, like, call me to be a youth pastor. Nothing was coming. I was like, you know what, Lord, I'm thick-skulled. I know it. I can't hear you. Just tell someone to come tell me that I'm being called, and I'll know it's from you. I know, hey, it's always the second thing, you always hope. But I said that, not even 5 seconds later, my friend beside me, who had no idea what was happening, leaned over and was like, hey, man, like, I think God's calling you to something, and you just need to accept it. And I was like, poof. I was like, oh, my goodness, like, yes, the Lord's calling me to ministry. I was so excited. I went around, like, celebrating. And then not even, like, a week later, I kind of dismissed it. I was like, no, like, that was a mistake. That wasn't a thing. Like, God, you're not calling me to be a pastor. I don't have the right story. I don't have the right testimony. Like, I'm not good enough to do that. No, like, God, you're not calling me to that. And so there's a guy in the Bible that was very similar to me, that God called him to something, and he doubted himself. He's like, no, God, you're making a mistake. Like, you're not calling me. This is not for me. And he doubted his abilities, and he thought God was making a mistake. And that guy was Moses. All right, Moses went on to take the Israelites out of Egypt and to bring them into the promised land, like God had said. But when God was calling him, he doubted. He made excuse after excuse after excuse about why he shouldn't be the guy, why he shouldn't be the one. And so we're going to go through Moses' excuses and kind of how that relates to our lives and our callings. And so Moses' excuse, his first one, it says, who am I? So in Exodus 3, 10, it says, this is God talking to Moses. It said, come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? So a little background is Moses actually grew up in Egypt. All right, he was discovered as a baby by Pharaoh's daughter and was raised an Egyptian. And he was in pretty high standings. He was practically one of Pharaoh's sons. But at one point, something happened, and he became rejected, and he ran away, and Pharaoh was seeking to take his life. And so he ran away to a far land and resided there and became a shepherd and was living out his days. And so this is when he was being a shepherd, and God started talking to him, and this is during the time. And so what was Moses feeling? So when God told him that he was going to be the one to free the Israelites, Moses looked at God and said, "Who am I to be the one to free the Israelites? Who am I to be the person to do that?" Moses knew he was nothing special. He knew he was a reject. He knew that he ran away. He knew that he wasn't important. He was a shepherd, and shepherds are considered the lowest of low. They have a dirty job that no one wants to take. And so he's questioning, "God, why are you calling me a shepherd, the lowest of low, a reject, to go to Pharaoh, the most powerful man on the planet this time, and demand that his people, his slaves, be released?" Let me put this into perspective. This is like a 13-year-old, okay, walking up to Trump and saying, "Hey, Trump, I need you to release all your taxpayers so they can come back with me to Canada." It's an absurd question. It's an absurd statement. It doesn't even make sense. And so Moses saw his unworthiness. He saw his inability to be what God is calling him to be. And so he's questioning, "God, who am I? Who am I?" So you may sometimes feel the same way. Maybe you're at work and your boss asks you, "Hey, can you head up this project for us that's going to bring this company thousands of dollars?" And you're questioning yourself, like, "Who am I that he would ask me of this? I'm just a number. I'm just one of the guys that sits at the computers." You know, maybe God's tugging at your heart and telling you, "Hey, you need to start a men's ministry in the church." And you're questioning God, like, "Who am I to start a men's ministry? I'm just someone. I don't do anything special here." Okay, maybe you're even a new Christian. You can feel God tugging in your heart to do something. And you're like, "God, who am I, a new Christian, to spark a revival in Penticton? I'm no one. I'm new. It's not for me." How often do you dismiss yourself from what God is asking you because you believe that you can't be the change? What identity are you looking at? Are you looking at who you think you are or who God knows you are? And so in my story, in my calling, you know, after grade 12, I decided, "You know, God, I'll give you 1 year at Bible college," because my brother went through this one-year program. He had a great time. He pretty much just made a bunch of friends and hung out. And I was like, "Ah, sounds great. I'm going to do that." And then he went to university. So I was like, "Okay, that's what I'm going to do. Now I'm going to be an engineer, you know, make money, the classic, right?" But we were at the beginning of this year, we were at a retreat. And we were just taking time to pray. And I was in a corner, like off the side. I'd probably be like in the corner. And I was just praying. I was like, "God," like, couldn't, the calling just was in my mind. I was like, "God, like, if you're calling me, just tell me. Just tell me right now. If you're calling me, tell me." And again, I'm thick-skulled, nothing. I heard nothing. And I was just sitting there. And then this kind of awkward guy, we called him Brando, all right? He came over, and, like, I was, like, behind a curtain away from everyone, and he just started, like, pacing in front of me while I was sitting down, just, like, really awkward. And I was like, "Hey, Brando, like, what's up? What do you need?" And he looked at me, and he just said, "Stop running." And I was like, what do you mean?" He looked at me, he said, "I don't know." And then just walked away. And I was like, what do you mean stop running? Like, it doesn't make sense. Then it clicked. I realized that the whole time I've been asking God to call me, I've actually been keeping my heart shut because I've been scared, because I didn't have the abilities. I wasn't worth it. And so I was asking God, I was like, "God, yeah, call me to be pastor." But at the same time, I was shutting my heart and I wasn't letting him speak to me because I was scared. I was nervous. I didn't know who I was in Christ. And so I needed to change my attitude of, "I am not worthy enough," to, "God has made me worthy enough." And so what does God want from you? What does God want from you? God wants you to discover your worth in him. Okay, there's a separation of what this world deems as worthy and what God deems as worthy. And so we need to change our mindset to go away from the worthiness that we need material things and what people say to what God calls me, that I'm a child of God, that he has called me for a purpose and a reason. Because he identifies us as children of God, and we are worth everything to him. So much that he sent his son to die for us, for you. And so Moses' second excuse is, what is your name? So Exodus 3:13 says, then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And so when Moses was asking God's name, he wasn't asking like, hey, what do I call you by? What do I identify you by? He's not being like, do I call you like God my dude or like home dog Jesus guy? Like, he wasn't asking, what do you call him? What is he supposed to call him? Names had much more importance in biblical times. Names had meaning behind it. When you gave birth, you named your child after something meaningful. An example, Moses' name comes from the word to draw out. Because the Egyptian mom that found him drew him out of the water, and so she named him Moses. There's many more examples like that in the Bible, John the Baptist, and more. So Moses wasn't asking, God, what do I call you by? Moses was asking, what is the very essence of God? What are you? What is it? Because Moses didn't have the Bible like we do. We can open this word, we can read through, we can discover who God is. What he's like, what his values are, how he cares for us. But Moses didn't have this. All right, Moses had to discover who God was. He had to make sure that this guy was worth it. So he's asking God, are you worth it? Because I'm going to be met with opposition in Egypt. And I'm going to need a God who can help me, who can empower me to do the impossible, because this is impossible. So God, are you worth it? Are you the one, the God of the universe? And so in our lives, do you sometimes question if you're hearing the God? When you pray and ask God to speak to you, and you just hear that little voice in your head, like, ah, it's just me. Like, do you know if that's God? Do you know what God's presence feels like? Do you know what his love feels like? Do you know the essence of who he is? In my life, again, I had not accepted my calling to be a pastor. I was still ignoring it. And we had this time where we'd pray in our teams. We were in teams, and we go pray in our teams, and we split off individually, and we would ask the Holy Spirit, you know, what do you want to say to every single person on this team? And then we'd write what we thought we heard down, and we met back up in the middle, and we'd share. And then so we'd all share, and like a lot of people's were very similar, like, oh, like God wants you to know this, and someone else is like, yeah, mine's very similar, mine's this to you. So they piggyback off each other. And then it came to me, and the first person said, Riley, your life is like a semi-truck. All right, you're driving down the highway and there's an exit coming up. And God's pulling you and wanting you to take that exit. He's wanting you to go that way, but you wanting to go straight. Like, the time is now. You have to choose before it's too late. What are you going to choose? And then person after person after person after that kept piggybacking and saying, like, yeah, God wants you to trust him in his life plans. Like, God wants you to use your gifts to change people, to bring people to Christ, and they just kept going one after another. It was so much that my leader afterwards took me aside and said, do you understand what is happening, Riley? Do you understand what is happening? You're being called, and you are running from it. Like, you got to choose. Are you going to accept this or not? And I finally understood that my perspective of God was wrong. I was expecting some Moses-type revelation where fire was going to come down and I was going to hear God in an audible voice saying, Riley, you are called. And I wanted that, and I wanted that. But I finally realized that God speaks in the small, still voice. And he speaks through people. And he speaks through thoughts. And so I finally accepted that. And when I did, I began to hear him more. I began to feel his presence better. I began to be able to discern his spirit even more. So what does God want for you? Do you want to get to know God better? There's always more to know. Do you want to hear more? Because he wants to reveal himself to you. He wants to reveal himself to you in his word. Are you digging into the word? Because God reveals his heart in his word. Are you reading it? He wants to reveal himself in worship, whether that's worship here at church or worship in your car as you're driving, or worship while you're doing dishes at home, or worship while you're serving someone. God wants to reveal himself to you. He wants to reveal himself to you through prayer. You know, there's a quote that pray often and use words as little as possible. God already knows what we're praying for. He already knows what he wants. And I often fill my own prayers with words, but I got to stop and just say, God, speak. And that's when God reveals himself to me, is when I stop talking, I shut my mouth, and I listen to him, because he speaks. He wants to reveal himself to you in your marriage with your spouse of how to grow spiritually. He wants to reveal himself to you. If we dig into God and find out who he is, you will be changed, because no one experiences God and remains the same. So are you digging in? Are you discovering him? God wants you to know who he is, the very essence of him, his heart, his presence, his voice. You just got to go and discover. Moses' last excuse is what I have to offer. And so in Exodus 4:1 says, then Moses answered, but behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, the Lord did not appear to you. And again in 4:10 it says, but Moses said to the Lord, oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue. And so Moses realized who he was in Christ. Right? He realized that the God of the universe was caring for him, that loved him, and was with him, but he still doubted his abilities. He doubted his leadership skills and his abilities to do what God has called him to do. He was scared, and he knew he couldn't accomplish it alone. So for us, I know that we often don't feel skilled enough, that we have the adequate amount of skills. You know, maybe you're at work and you can't do the thing that your boss has asked you to do, but you're scared to say no, and so you take it on anyways. I know that most of us, if not all of us, have felt this way, that we can't accomplish something at hand. And that's because we have strengths and weaknesses, all right? And we don't like operating in our weaknesses, but we aren't supposed to be good at everything anyways. But God still calls us to do things outside of our skill set. Outside of our skill set. And so coming back to college, I was like, Lord, you're calling me to this, but I don't think I'm good enough. Open doors. Show me that I can do what you've called me to do because I'm depending upon you. And then God began to open doors. You know, vice president came up in the school. So I took that and I grew in my administration skills, which I wasn't great at. You know, and then I got to host History Maker 1 year. And I got to work with a team and plan how to actually speak in front of people. And then presidency came up, and there were speaking opportunities, and there was I had to organize a team, run meetings, and there was so much that I wasn't good at, but God was showing me, Riley, you can do it. You can do it because I am giving it to you. You know, and this was still happening. I still doubted. I was in chapel one day, and I just broke down. I was like, God, I'm not good enough. I can't do this. Why are you calling me to this? I'm not the one. And God spoke to me and said, I have chosen you. Do not fear. Because if I have chosen you, I will see it through. And God speaks that to every one of us. He empowers us. So what does God want to do for you? God wants to empower you. All right? He wants to empower you for what he's calling you to do. We need to know that God doesn't need us to be perfect beings. He needs us to be beings who depend upon him and seek him. There's a famous saying that God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. You don't have to be perfect to do what God's asking you to do, but you have to depend upon him because he's the one that gives. He's the one that empowers. No matter what God is calling you to do and go or be, all he needs is a willing heart and someone to say yes. Are you saying yes to God today? And still, if we aren't feeling qualified enough, in our series that we're going through, we know that God gives the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit empowers to do greater things than even Jesus did. And so are you tapping into the Holy Spirit? Are you discovering the Holy Spirit? Are you asking the Holy Spirit to fill you, to equip you? When we feel incomplete, God completes us. So what is God calling you to today? It doesn't matter if you're young, if you're old, if you're a new Christian, if you're an old Christian and been a Christian your whole life, have you been listening to God recently? Because the God I know doesn't stop speaking after the first time he speaks. He continues to speak. He continues to call. He continues to ask stuff from us, to be obedient. Sometimes God's just calling us to give him more time. There's a story. I was riding a ferry to go see Kirsten on the island, and I was doing my devotions. And I could overhear a woman behind me. She was older, and she was on the phone, and she was talking to her friend about how she's feeling pain in her body. And doctors didn't know what was going on, but she was hurting. And so she was going over to go see some other specialized doctor to go see what was happening. And when I heard this, I heard God being like, pray for her. Riley, go and pray for her. And I sat there for 15 minutes, making excuse after excuse after excuse of why I shouldn't be the one to go pray for her. God, I've never healed anyone. God, I'm not good enough for this. God, I don't have the talents. I don't know what she's dealing with. Spent 15 minutes making excuses to God, and after those 15 minutes, you know what I did? I didn't go and pray for her. I sat in my seat and remained quiet. Never regretted that for my entire life, because that was a moment that God could have used me for someone to discover who Christ is and come to faith and to be healed, but I didn't do it because I made excuses because I was scared. I've regretted it my entire life. And so what has your excuse been to God for not sharing the gospel with friends, for not spending time with Jesus, for not engaging in worship when God's calling you to, when not praying for that person on the street that you see is just broken, for not calling up that friend who you know is lonely and in need of someone, but you just don't want to? What has been your excuse? It's time to stop coming up with excuses, and it's time to start saying yes to God and doing what he's asked us to do. You know, our excuses are results of our inadequacies, but obedience to God nullifies our inadequacies because God empowers us to do so. It doesn't matter what our weaknesses is. God empowers us to do that if he's calling us to it. Are you willing to follow? Are you willing to go where God is calling you to go? We don't have to make excuses because God is with us. We know who we are, that we are Christ's, and we are loved, and we are his children. We know who he is. He's the God of the universe that wants to be with us, that loves us, that is in charge, and we know that he empowers us. He empowers us to do the things that we don't think we can do. So what should we do when we feel like we're not good enough? God says, abide in me, and I'll abide in you. So open up his word. Dig into him. Let him reveal himself to you. Pray. Listen. Discern. And be obedient. Because city, country, and world revivals are just a yes away from happening. Because God is calling us to do something. And so what is God calling you to do today? What has been your excuse? And are you going to accept the calling that God has placed on your life? Jesus, God, we thank you, Lord, that you are the God of the universe, God. We thank you, Lord, that we know who we are through you, God, that you have called us children of God, that you are with us, that you call us your own, that you love on us, and that you have saved us from eternity in hell, God, because you came and you died for us, Jesus, so we know who we are. God, I thank you that we know who you are, God, that we can read who you are in your word, God. We can discover who you are. We can understand who you are and know what your voice sounds like, God, because you reveal it to us in your word, in prayer, in worship. Jesus, thank you that we know who you are, God. And God, I thank you that you empower us, Lord. We're not perfect beings, Lord. We have weaknesses, we have struggles, we have fears. But Lord, you empower us to do even greater things, God. Because you've asked us to do greater things. And so you will see it through if we are obedient, God. So Lord, right now, as we are praying, God, would people be asking, God, what is your calling on my life? What are you asking of me to do? What are you asking me to do today, tomorrow, the next day? Maybe, God, you're speaking to them and it's a life change, it's a career change, God. That you want them to do something different for you, God. Maybe it's just something as little as praying for that person that's beside you. But God, would everyone be listening to your voice right now, God, and asking, would you reveal your calling? What are you asking me to do today, God? And Lord, would they accept that calling, Jesus? Would they say yes to it, Jesus? Because God, you are good, and you save us, and you empowered us, God, and you love on us, Jesus. So we thank you for that, God. Would you continue to speak, Jesus? In your name we pray, amen.